the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American.
And hello, America, and good news, Florida has not been wiped off the face of the earth. That's good news. Wow, we've got a lot going on today, and what an odd sort of a weird news day. So look, I want to get to it. Can we talk about Hurricane Milton for just a moment? And I've been very careful about being critical of the professional weather guessers. And now we need to have a little conversation here, because what's going to happen is somebody's going to end up getting killed because of these people. And again, last night, as the storm was approaching the coast of Florida, the west coast of Florida, I mean, you had everybody and their brother out there saying this was going to be the apocalypse, right? They said this was the end of Florida as we know it. They said that that they were going to have to create a new category designation. Right now, I think what category 5 is the apocalypse. They were going to go with category 6. We got to have a category. We're going to have a wall of water 780 feet tall, and it's going to inundate the entire state, and we're doomed. And people were rushing to their cars, and they've been stuck on Interstate 75 for like all week, listening to talk radio and praying somebody comes along and gets gasoline. It's been insane. So anyway, they came out and said that Hurricane Milton would change the coastline of Florida forever. The mayor of Tampa Bay came out, and she said, anybody who doesn't evacuate will die. You will die. You will die a gruesome, moist death in water. You will drown. Okay, we get it. We get it, Mrs. Mayor, Madam Mayor. And they said the storm surge, it will be 30 stories tall and will sweep across, and not even NBA stars will be able to survive. And you're like, wow, that's man, that's a pretty devastating storm. We better pack up. We better get out of there. We got to book a hotel room. We're going to have to stay at a Best Western or one of those. It's just terrible. And we played along. We passed along the news and the information. And I'm certainly glad it turned out not to be what it was. But here's what gets me. Anybody who dares question anything, what have they been calling us over the past couple of days? Oh, you misinformation people, disinformation, misinformation. Well, I had a chance to think about this today. Woke up early. I'll tell you more about that later. And I was thinking about all of this. And you're right. There has been a lot of misinformation over the past couple of weeks. You had Hurricane Helene. And by the way, and again, Hurricane Helene, what were they going to tell us? The state capital of the Florida, Tallahassee, may not be inhabitable for a generation. They said it was going to be just massive destruction. So it turned out that Tallahassee didn't even get hit. But you know what did? North Carolina. And nobody predicted that except yours truly, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, yours truly. And I am not even a professional weather guesser. I'm just an amateur weather guesser. As a matter of fact, we're opening up. We have a window here in the beautiful news radio bunker. Hold on. I'm opening up the window. Yeah, uh-huh. Looks like it's going to be sunny skies today. Even I, without a weather guesser degree, was able to tell people, hey, with that much rain, that's going to be a problem for the mountain folk. But the weather guessers, they didn't catch on to that. So anyway, I'm getting to a point. Yes, I'm getting to the point. So anyway, here's what I want us to do. Let's go through some of the accusations here. They said that Milton was going to force them to create a new Category 6 designation. That turned out to be misinformation. They said that Hurricane Milton was literally going to change the state's coastline forever. Now, we checked, and the good news is Destin, Florida is still there. Naples, Florida is still there. St. Pete, Clearwater, everybody's still there. Everybody's alive and kicking. So that turned out to be misinformation. The mayor of Tampa said anyone who did not evacuate would die. Well, that turned out to be misinformation, and we're happy for this, right? We're very happy for the misinformation. They said the storm surge would be historic, and that turned out to be misinformation. So all of the misinformation here is actually coming from the people in charge, the professional weather guessers. And I've noticed over the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, they do this all the time. By the way, they were, again, the storm surge during Helene, it's going to wipe off the panhandle of the Big Bend. It will no longer be there. It'll be the Little Bend. There may not even be a bend. Well, it turns out that the bend is still there and it's still big. No, that's not a euphemism for anything, Ben. That's just that it's what they call it. It's big. So I know I'm going to catch so much flack over this, but it needs to be said, America, and I'm willing to say it. Is it possible that the professional weather guessers are intentionally exaggerating the strength of these storms to advance the climate change narrative? Is that possible? Has that crossed your mind? I mean, a lot of this now is just show business. I mean, nobody watches the Weather Channel. It's terrible. So they have to turn these things, these storms, into productions, which is why they started naming the winter storms. Remember that? I mean, it used to be back when I was growing up that it was just a snowstorm. But now they've given, and I don't know if this was some sort of a deal they reached with the LGBT activists, but now all of their winter storms have gay names. Winter Storm Bruce. Okay. Winter Storm Devin. Okay. Really? That doesn't like strike fear. Like Hurricane, well, Milton doesn't exactly, you know. Anyway, but my point is, it's as if they are using these regular occurrences in the weather to create some sort of a narrative that we're all going to die horrible, horrible deaths every time a storm hits. And then it turns out not to be true. And here's my concern about all of this. One day there is going to be a storm, and it's going to be a big one. And it's going to hit a place like Florida or the Gulf Coast, wherever hurricanes normally hit. And people are not going to evacuate. They're going to stay in their homes, and people are going to die. And the reason they're going to stay in their homes is they're tired of the National Weather Service and the National Hurricane Center crying wolf all the time. And sooner or later, people are just going to, they're just going to stop evacuating. There are people that were stuck on the interstate in all of this. And anyway, meanwhile, you have an actual crisis going on in the state of North Carolina and East Tennessee. And nobody in the media is now paying attention to that story at all. As a matter of fact, death totals have not been updated. And everybody we've talked to, and we've been talking to a lot of people in leadership, they tell us that the death toll will far exceed what we already know. So I'm just wondering, do you think this is all part of some sort of an effort to say we've got to stop eating cheeseburgers, or else Miami is going to fall into the ocean? We've got to do away with farting cows, or we're going to lose Cocoa Beach. I'm just wondering. But I will say this, and it was interesting watching I was watching some of the reporters. We're in downtown Orlando, and it's breezy. And the rain has no. Well, the reason why are you in Orlando? The storm isn't even hitting Orlando. It's anyway, the coverage last night. Did you see Anderson Cooper? Could someone explain this to me? I never have understood this, and I didn't understand it when they did it to me, except that I think I was expendable. You know, they always send the reporters out and you have to cover the storm from like in the middle of the street. And they did this with me. I remember one time I was in New Orleans. They sent me down to New Orleans. Starnes, we need you in New Orleans, and we need you to cover the hurricane. And I'm like, all right. So I went down there, and they sent Shepard Smith. Remember him? Oh, that's a piece of work. Anyway, Shep Smith. So I was on Canal Street. I'll never forget this. And they're like, we need you to go out into the storm. And I literally had to strap myself to a telephone pole in the middle of Canal Street, right up from the Marriott Hotel. And I'm the wind is howling, and you can hear things crashing, and like just and there was debris everywhere. But they wanted me out there, strapped to a telephone pole, to provide a report. Meanwhile, I look off to my side, and there is a massive armored carrier coming by. And out of the top of it, it was sort of like a they had a turret. It was almost like a tank. And out of the turret pops Shepard Smith. So they put the TV guy in some sort of an armored carrier. Meanwhile, Todd Stern's radio reporter is strapped to the side of a telephone pole in the middle of Canal Street. That's when you know your place in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Like, geez, Lou, what was the point of that? I don't. I got sidetracked. All that to say, it makes you wonder if a lot of this stuff is just being made up. Oh, I remember now. I remember. So Anderson Cooper. So they put Anderson Cooper out there, and he got knocked right upside the head by a piece of debris. Oh, wow, that didn't feel good. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. Get out of the wind, you moron. I don't understand why they put the reporters out there, except maybe they want them to meet untimely deaths. I'm glad I survived my stint at that. Anyway, all that to say, I'm glad everybody's okay. No, I don't wish anybody any ill will. I'm just saying they're out there accusing us of spreading misinformation when, in fact, it is the National Weather Service and the National Hurricane Center and these professional weather guessers on TV that are the ones spreading all of this fake information. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I know, you know what's going to, somebody's going to, I'm waiting for this to happen. You just want people to die. You wanted a death toll. No, I don't. I'm just trying to prevent future death tolls. That's all I'm trying to do. We'll be right back, America.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation honors our nation's greatest heroes, their sacrifices, and helps our nation to never forget. Mario Nelson was a special man who respected and loved America. Mario joined the National Guard after 9/11. He volunteered to help with the recovery efforts at Ground Zero. Later, Mario and his wife had a daughter. Motivated by his 9/11 experience, he enlisted in the U.S. Army. Sergeant Mario Nelson later deployed to Iraq. Just 2 months shy of coming home, he was killed in action at the age of 26. Thanks to the support of friends like you, the Tunnels to Towers Foundation delivered a mortgage-free home to Mario's wife and daughter. In their darkest hours, that home brought them stability, peace of mind, and a place to call their own. Do good in honor of heroes like Mario, heroes who put their lives on the line for our country, our communities, and the freedoms we all enjoy. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Let's get to the phones. I think I may have touched a nerve here. Let's start with Lisa in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Lisa. How's it going? What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. First time caller.
Welcome.
Thank you. My husband and I were talking last night. You mean to tell me, with all the equipment that they have, to test, you know, for storms and stuff, I cannot believe that they can't predict.
Right, Lisa, that's, and by the way, they never predicted what was going to happen in North Carolina. They said that storm was supposed to hit Atlanta. And even then, I said on the air, I said, well, I mean, if that thing hits Atlanta, the story is going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, not in Tallahassee. But regardless, it ended up moving east and, you know, taking out western North Carolina instead. But again, the issue is they're not able to predict any of this stuff.
I know. It's ridiculous. So my husband came home and he says, well, let's see what kind of gloom and doom they got going on today.
And you see, you've seen the graphics now, right, with the rising water. This is what it's going to look like, and it's going to be, you know, 30 feet deep. Well, I'm glad it's not, but you know what? They never get that right. They said that about Hurricane Helene. It didn't happen. They've been saying this about hurricanes, and I started paying attention last year, Lisa, when a Category 1 storm hit, and it was like, you know, 74, 75 mile an hour winds. And yeah, it's going to cause a little bit of damage, but they were acting as like this was the apocalypse.
Yeah, I know. And the same thing when Florence came through here, it was awful for a while.
Absolutely. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, catastrophic flooding. And I'm looking in the photo they used, you could still see the lines over the road. I'm like, OK, that's maybe a couple of inches deep. I mean, I get it. Yeah, you're going to have flooding. If you have 18 inches of waterfall, you're going to have some flooding. So, Lisa, thank you for calling. Yeah, thanks for calling in. Good first call, Lisa. Well done. Let's go to Jim in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to make a comment about the way they name the storms now with, you know, fairy names. Why don't they just use the president's names that are bad presidents and vice presidents? And, you know, if they told me Kamala Harris was coming into town, I'd run.
Hurricane Kamala. I'm sorry, you said fairy names? What are fairy names? Like Tinkerbell?
Well, you were talking about the
storms. Oh, the gay name. Oh, yes. Yeah, they're rather... Yeah. Okay, I'm in trouble now.
I just wanted to be right.
All right. Jim. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Betty in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Betty. What's going on?
Yes. I want to tell you what I think about it. I followed it all the way. And, you know, DeSantis did a wonderful job, the golden governor, because I was in Charleston, South Carolina, when Hurricane Hugh came. I just had moved to Charleston. We moved to Mount Pleasant. It was just exactly what they said it was. And you know what caused a lot of people to pray? Even the DeSantis said, have faith. Have faith it won't be as bad. I think God had something to do with it. People's been praying for revival. I've been hearing and spiritual awakening all over the United States. And God's got to bring a nation back and listen to former President Trump. He's got to get in there. We cannot, I'm from the old school, we cannot have a president that don't know what they're doing. That's what's wrong with our younger generation today. I'm getting ready to go home. I'm 85. But the younger generation today does not have nothing to follow. They have no example. Look what we have in the White House. Look what we have in the Congress. And my sister and I in Greenville, South Carolina, we keep up with politics because like Adrian Rogers said, you're supposed to. And
listen, well, this is true.
And, I think God moved people's heart, and I don't know what they did, but Governor DeSantis tried to keep it calm.
Well,
and I really think he did.
Betty, let me say this. You sound like you're fired up and you're a spring chicken. You don't sound like you're in your 80s. You sound like you're in your 30s, Betty. But I'm with you 1,000% here. I think Ron DeSantis, and we're going to play some audio here in a minute. Ron DeSantis was large and in charge, as our good friend Robin Poppin likes to say. And he has done a really remarkable job. And we'll get into more of that coming up after the bottom of the hour news break here. Betty, God bless you, and thank you for calling in. I will say this. I don't, you know, it's, you know, people say that, you know, God is involved in this. And, you know, I don't want to start a theological discussion. But I'm not sure that God is out there directing the hurricanes to hit this area or that area. I'm just saying. But to her broader point, I do believe that we have a responsibility to get out there and engage the culture. And especially all of you Christians, 25 million of you Christians out there registered to vote and you're not going out to vote. What's wrong with you? Don't act like a bunch of godless heathens. Get out and vote. Early voting starting up. Get out and vote. 15 million unregistered Christians in this country. Come on. Got to do better than that. All right. 901-260-5926. That's our telephone number. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, hang on tight because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher.
and you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you've got to act fast. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD now. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. Let's go to the phone lines real quick here. Max in Tennessee, WTJS, our great affiliate out there in those great parts. Hi, Max. What's going on?
Man, hi. Good morning. It's first time calling on you, Todd. Hey, I want to disagree with you a little bit about the storm damage.
Sure.
I live in St. Petersburg, Florida also, and the Helene, when it came through, it was devastation down there. I mean, it totally tore up you go to Clearwater Beach, St. Pete Beach, any of those beaches, Treasure Island. The water came in one side of them and went out the other side up to 7 feet, and it just destroyed all that, and it came on in. And that storm was 100 miles away. Had this storm not zigzagged just a little bit to the south, and if it had hit gone and we'd have gotten the right side of the storm, St. Pete would have been underwater. I mean, and that's the most densely populated county in the state. And so that would have been kind of total devastation had it not gone a little further south. So I know they hype these storms a lot, and they stand in the wind, and I know they hype it all up, but these storms, they're real when they hit. And that was that. Not just really disagreeing with you, but I do agree that they hype the storms, but there's total devastation down there where it hit. But fortunately, St. Pete and Tampa were spared just
well,
about 20 miles.
And Max, the point of this is that eventually there is going to be a storm that is going to be bad, and people are not going to leave because they have been fooled time after time after time.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point,
my wife.
So that's my concern.
That this morning.
There you go. Well,
all
right. So, Max, you and I have more to it that we agree on than we disagree on, and I will take that as a win for both of us.
I totally agree, and good to talk to you. The first time call.
Well, Max, you have to give us a call back. What part of Tennessee are you calling from?
Jackson.
All right. A fine place, the hometown of Rockabilly.
That is correct.
All right, and there's
Carl Perkins,
and there's a great mm-hmm. there's a great all you can eat country buffet there too over at the Casey Jones Village.
That's right.
I know my West Tennessee. I've been there a time or two. So good people over there in Jackson.
And try a catfish cabin sometime.
Oh, you know what? Next time I'll do that, Max. Catfish cabin.
All right.
There you go.
That was one of Carl Perkins' restaurants that he helped create.
Well, Carl Perkins, just one of the best out there. So, Max, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening. Give us a holler back one of these days. 901-260-5926. By the way, Ron DeSantis went on MSDNC and shut them down. They tried to accuse him of politicizing all of this, and the big story coming out of these hurricanes is how well, Ron DeSantis handles disaster relief. Anyway, here's the governor fighting back, cut number 10.
Hey, Governor, could you just help clear something else up that happened earlier this week? And we were actually debating it at this table, so I got to ask. There was some praise that came your way from President Biden and said that you had spoken. Then there was this brouhaha over Vice President Harris apparently reaching out to you and not taking the call, and this whole thing, accusations that this had all become politicized. Can you just speak to what happened there?
I am working with the President of the United States. I'm working with the Director of FEMA. I'm marshaling all my state assets. We've been doing this now nonstop for over 2 weeks between Helene and this. And so if there's anything I can leverage to benefit my people, I'm going to do it. The fact of the matter is they put out a story saying I didn't even know she was trying to reach me, but she has no role in this process. And I've been dealing with these storms in Florida under both Trump and Biden. Neither of them ever politicized it. And in fact, all the storms I've dealt with under this administration, although I've worked well with the president, she has never called in Florida. She has never offered any support. So what she's doing is she's trying to inject herself into this because of her political campaign. So as the governor here who's leading this, I don't have time for those games. I don't care about her campaign. Obviously, I'm not a supporter of hers, but she has no role in this process. And so I'm working with the people I need to be working with. We're leveraging the resources I need to be leveraging. And for her to try to say that my focus should be on catering to her rather than worrying about my own people just shows she doesn't understand what it means to respond to these natural disasters.
Yeah, good for you, Governor. There's worse Kamala. He didn't get those people umbrellas. They don't have any umbrellas. They're going to get wet. We need umbrellas for everybody. Where's my Miller Lite? I'm telling you, this woman is insane. By the way, she actually called in to the Weather Channel. Who does that? This is Kamala Harris calling into the Weather Channel, and here's what she's fired up about. Cut three.
Sadly, there are some folks who, during the moment of a crisis, will be very predatory and start jacking up prices like gasoline or hotels or airlines to take advantage of the desperation people are experiencing. So to anybody who's thinking about jacking up those prices, those companies that are thinking about doing it, know that we are monitoring and we're watching. And if there is that kind of price gouging, that there will be a consequence for that, because it's just wrong to take advantage of people who are desperate for help. And so know that we're watching that as well.
All right. Thank you, Kamala. Speaking of jacking up prices, inflation off the charts, thanks to this woman and her boss. That being said, I want to share some intel with you. This coming from the New York Post. And you're going to, folks, I'm telling you, this is, you're going to flip your lid. New York City is now going to be using hotel rooms as emergency shelters for the illegals. So they have something called the Department of Homeless Services, and they're going to rent some 14,000 hotel rooms through at least next year. So far, they've already spent $2.3 billion in tax money to house the illegals over the past 2 years. Now, that money should have been going to, I don't know, let's say homeless veterans, for example. But no. They're using it to house the illegals. $2.3 billion so far. Now, the Post did the math, and they're saying the final price tag, when it's all said and done, $5.7 billion. And the problem is that many of these hotel rooms are in places like Times Square and Midtown Manhattan, and they're not going to be able to rent them out to the folks coming up from, I don't know, Fort Wayne, Indiana, going to a Broadway show because they've got a bunch of illegals staying in the hotels. By the way, if you're doing the math, that's about $352 per room per night. That's nearly $5 million a day that they are spending on the illegals. Meanwhile, all you folk up in North Carolina, you got a one-time check from Uncle Sam for $750 that you have to pay back. And some of you folks have been applying. Get this. Some of the survivors have been applying for this $750, and they're being denied because they say they don't meet the criteria. Now, this right here, ladies and gentlemen, should make your blood boil. This is what an America Last policy looks like. President Trump wants to put Americans first. And I am telling you, I'm telling you, this president, if we all do what we're supposed to do, which is go out and vote, Donald Trump wins in a landslide. The internal polling numbers are unbelievably horrible for Kamala Harris right now. Oh, by the way, I've got some news for you folks in North Carolina. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. The Trump campaign and the RNC are now looking at using buses as mobile polling stations to help people in Western North Carolina. If you've been displaced by the hurricane, they want to put together buses, which would be mobile polling stations, so that you might be able to vote before and on November the 5th. I think this is a pretty spectacular idea. It's actually a brilliant idea. So we'll see. We'll keep you updated on that. But again, that's going to be a big issue because Western North Carolina, we're looking at about 500,000, 600,000 guaranteed Republican votes, and Donald Trump's going to need every one of those to carry the state of North Carolina. So I like that idea a lot. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to play this audio. And before we do, I need to explain something to you. The one unknown variable here is the millennials and Gen Zers. Now, they have been destroyed by the economic policies of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. But the question is, do they realize it? Because unfortunately, and I do not mean this in a disparaging way at all, but these are the dumbest generations that we have right now. And I want to explain what I mean by that. You've got a public education system funded by our tax dollars, and they have been intentionally dumbing down our population. They are no longer teaching, and a lot of these schools are no longer teaching the advanced placement courses. They're no longer teaching honors classes. They're teaching to the lowest common denominator now. And many of these kids and millennials, Gen Z and millennials, they have no concept of American government, of civics, how our government works, how it functions. They don't know anything about it. And it's not their fault. This is on the public education system paid for with our tax dollars. So anyway, I want to illustrate this point. There was a TikTok dude, and he exposed this political retardation that is a big problem in the United States of America and could actually lead to more people voting for Kamala Harris, even though she's responsible for all of their woes. Cut seven. I'm sorry, cut
Trump or Kamala?
Nine. Kamala.
Why are you voting for Kamala?
Because Trump sucks, because she's trying to make the world a lot cheaper to live in. The amount of money that costs to just do anything keeps increasing so much.
So do you think that's Biden and Kamala's fault?
I think that's always been happening. How much things have cost has always been, like, increasing.
So you think Kamala's going to fix it, even though she's already been VP for 4 years?
What did Trump do?
I think he fixed it.
Did he?
Yeah, I think the economy was way better. Mm. Houses were cheaper. Rent was cheaper. Well, grocery prices were cheaper. What is Kamala's greatest achievement as VP?
I literally don't know. I have no idea.
You don't know anything she's done?
No, I don't.
But she's still the better choice?
Yes, because I know a lot of things that he has done.
Like, you know a lot of things about Trump that are negative?
Yeah. He's racist. He's sexist.
Okay, well, what has he done that's racist?
Specifically, I don't watch anything with Trump in it. I just see, like, clips. I don't watch things politically.
So you just have an opinion, but you don't really know why?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm concerned about those kinds of people going to vote. It's bad. We talked about this story a couple of days ago. What was it? Now Generation Z, they believe that adulthood does not start at 18. They said it starts around 27 years old. I'm telling you, this is why we need to move the voting age to 27. That's the reason why, because these morons go out there and they vote for people like Kamala Harris, and they have no idea that Kamala Harris is causing all the problems that they're facing in life. Unbelievable. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. May I ask you a question? I'm curious about your cell phone coverage. Are you still using one of the major carriers? If so, I want you to consider switching over to Patriot Mobile. They are the nation's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they actually use their profits to support organizations that we care about, specifically our military, our veterans, our first responders. Patriot Mobile has dependable nationwide coverage. They give you access to all three major networks, and that means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to and you're going to be giving back to our heroes instead of some far-left cause. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're going to be supporting organizations like Helping a Hero, Tunnel to Towers, Folds of Honor, and they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, and they make it so easy to switch. A lot of people ask me, Todd, can I keep my number? Yeah, you can keep your number. Can I keep my phone? Yes, you can keep your phone. Or if you want to upgrade, you can upgrade, and you should upgrade. Their team is going to help you find the best plan for your needs. So go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd if you want more information, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You get free activation by using the offer code Todd. So you're going to want to remember that. Write it down. T-O-D-D gets you free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT.
A large retail store just canceled a huge order, leaving MyPillow with a ton of extra MyPillows. But you know what? That's their loss and your gain. For the first time ever, you can get a standard classic MyPillow for wholesale prices, only $14.88. But it gets better. For a limited time, they're offering their entire classic collection at wholesale prices. Get queen-size MyPillows for just $18.88. Upgrade to a king for only a buck more. Get the body pillows for $29.88 and multi-use MyPillows for only $9.98. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and take advantage of wholesale pricing for the first time ever. On top of that, receive free shipping on orders over $75. There have never been offered this low before. There are limited quantities. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to get the standard MyPillow for only $14.88, the lowest price ever.
All right, you got to give a shout-out to Chick-fil-A, the official chicken of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, Chick-fil-A is setting up mobile restaurants in Asheville, and they're feeding people. A lot of people, they have no homes, they've got no place to go, no job, and so they're serving people free Chick-fil-A sandwiches there in the Asheville area with this mobile canteen. God bless those great, great folks. Let's go to Dale in Georgia. Hi, Dale. What's on your mind today? All right, let's put Dale on hold. I'm sorry about that. Dale, let's go to Walt in North Carolina, WSIC.
Yes, hello.
All right, Walt, here's what we need you to do. We're going to put Walt back on hold. Have Walt turn down. Folks, if you're calling in, turn down your radio. Otherwise, you're going to get a little bit of feedback. So, guys, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls in the next hour of the program. All right, President Trump and the campaign, they now believe that New York State is in play. This is a big deal. The president is going to be holding a massive rally inside Madison Square Garden, and there 16, 17,000 people. It's going to be huge. The radical activists in New York City are going nuts, and one of them is actually a state senator. His name is Brad Holyman Segal. He's enraged. He's a gay dude, and he's got one of the hyphenated married to a man. That's why they've got the hyphenated last name there. And this guy's a radical gay activist. So he posted this big screed on X. He's saying that Trump's Madison Square Garden rally is equivalent to a Nazi rally that was held back in 1939 at Madison Square Garden. And he goes on to say that the Madison Square Garden has to cancel the rally. He is demanding, not asking, he's demanding they cancel the rally. He says that having a Trump rally would endanger public safety and would incite widespread violence. Well, that really doesn't say a lot about the radical progressives there in New York City, does it? Because Trump supporters are very peaceful people. Meanwhile, you've got folks that are literally attacking Jews on the streets of New York City. By the way, and the irony is not lost here, the senator has not said a word on his social media platforms about the literal Nazis that are marching in the streets of his own district, calling for the elimination of every Jew in the world and calling for the destruction of Israel. So I'm just curious, why is the senator not out there talking about that. Hmm? I'm very curious. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Hour two coming up next. 901-260-5926 is our number. ToddStearns.com. Go check out all of our great stories. We also have some great video as well, and not to mention our awesome, awesome Todd Stearns store. We'll be right back, everybody.
Now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile not only shares our beliefs, but they actually do something about it. America's only conservative Christian wireless carrier. And they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and use the promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Veterans and first responders save even more. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT.
Everyone's goals for advancing their education look different. At Liberty University, we've helped thousands of students like you earn their dream degree. So no matter what your goal is, we can help you get there. With over 450 degrees from the associate to the doctoral level to choose from, most of which are 100% online, you'll find what you need to succeed. To discover which degree might be the best fit for you, text degree to 49595. That's degree to 49595.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Great to have you with us, everybody. And we got a lot going on this hour. Riley Gaines is going to drop by. We have an update on that big volleyball boycott we've been telling you about. You know, earlier this morning, the day started a little earlier than normal. We had a big get out the vote gathering at the VFW Hall, the Veterans of Foreign War, Wars Hall in Collierville, Tennessee, and had a wonderful time. Justin Johnson leading up a series of talks and conversations throughout this election season. And today, Senator Marsha Blackburn was the keynote speaker, and they asked me to bring the donuts. Always happy to bring the donuts, and we brought the donuts and had a great conversation with Senator Blackburn about not only the election, but also her stand on AM radio and making sure that every automobile in America will always have access to AM radio. And that's a big deal. And especially when you look at what's been happening in some of these disaster areas where the only source of information has been coming from AM radio. And that is a vitally important thing. So the left, they want to get rid of AM radio primarily because of the conservative talk radio audience. But again, the primary use of AM radio is to convey important news and information in the event of some sort of a disaster. So we really appreciate Senator Blackburn and her position on that. And also, just as a reminder, that many of your talk radio stations that you listen to around the nation are now owned by George Soros. And this is one of the reasons I own my own radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. And I can promise you this, it's going to be a cold day and you know where before that guy ever gets his hands on my radio station. So there will always be at least one conservative talk radio station in America. I can promise you that. In the meantime, we have got a lot of work to do and we've got to get out the vote. Two numbers stick in my mind, 25 million and 15 million. 25 million registered Christian voters who do not vote, 15 million Christian voters who are not registered to vote. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend. He is the president of National Religious Broadcasters, also the chief executive officer, Troy Miller. Troy, good to have you back on the show.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you again.
So those numbers concern me, Troy, the number of Christians that are not engaged in the political process.
Yeah, exactly, Todd. The numbers you quoted, nearly 30 million adults in America who qualify under the Barna survey as evangelicals, and yet a third of them did not even vote in the 2020 election. And just to give you the impact of that, 7 million Christians in the battleground states didn't go to the polls and vote for who will govern this country. And as you know and I know, those states, most of those states were decided by just thousands of votes. So this would have made a huge impact on the election had Christians gotten involved in a process I believe God calls us to be involved in.
Now, the issue here, and I was giving a speech over the weekend in Washington at the Pray Vote Stand gathering, mm-hmm. and I pointed out here, we've got to play smart politics. And I get it. A lot of Christians are really upset with how things went down with the party platform vote, with what President Trump is saying about abortion. I get that. But the reality is we've got a bigger issue right now, and that is stopping a Marxist takeover of our country.
Well, and I think a lot of the issues people have really decided. I think Christians know where they stand and know where the two parties stand on the issues today. The real problem is getting them to motivated to get out and vote their values. That's the real issue, Todd. They've been shamed into thinking that politics has no place in religion, or vice versa, that people who are religious have no place in politics. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because again, we're going to decide who will govern this country. That means who's going to set the policies, who's going to decide what we spend money on, who's going to set the ideologies that go across all of our institutions. So there's a lot at stake here for Christians just to sit on the sidelines.
I was really struck by something you wrote in your column on Fox. You quoted some numbers from the Election Forum, and they estimate nearly 7 million evangelicals in swing states alone did not vote in the 2020 election. What happens if those people actually get out and vote, Troy?
Well, I think what you'll see is a major shift in politics in this country. And I'm not just talking about politics on the right, because Christians not getting out and voting sends a message to politicians across the board that the way the country is governed really doesn't matter to me. So if you're in the Democratic Party and you want to bring the Democratic Party back to the center, then make your voice heard. Okay, vote for candidates that are going to bring it back to the values that you adhere to. So it's a huge impact. There's a lot at stake here, and you can't just sit in the pews today. And I'll tell you, Todd, one of the major problems that Christians have is we don't have enough pastors who are shepherding their churches in this area.
So how do we fix that problem, Troy?
Well, look, Pray Vote Stand was a great conference. So glad you were there, Tony Perkins, and all the folks there that do such a wonderful job there. So we need to do that. We're continuing to communicate out the issues. There are so many places that you can go, Family Research Council, ADF. They all have resources to be able to tell the people in your church what are the key issues in this election and how do they line up to your biblical Christian worldview. And then your responsibility, if you really do love your neighbor and love people around you and want to see and hear the gospel message proclaimed, then you can't sit on the sidelines.
You know, I'm curious, and by the way, folks, we've got Troy Miller from the National Religious Broadcasters with us, and wrote a terrific column on Fox News and really challenging Christians to get out and vote and engage the culture. But Troy, I'm curious, has anybody actually sat down with some of these younger pastors? And I think this is where the problem is. It's a lot of younger pastors who maybe have been taught in seminary. You shouldn't be talking about politics from the pulpit. Has anybody been able to sit down with these guys and just kind of hear their thoughts on it and try to get an understanding of what's going on in their brains?
Yeah, again, there are several organizations that are out there doing this that are sitting down with pastors. And I also think that pastors, I think we're going to see a different swing in this election, because I think pastors with COVID understood that the government can come in and silence the pulpit. And that has made a big impact on younger pastors. So I think we might see a bit of a change here, but there are some great organizations. I mean, you talked about some of the things that you're doing and some of the things that FRC is doing. Charlie Kirk's organization is doing a bunch of number of wonderful things to get out with pastors. Franklin Graham has been going across the country, and pastors are listening. They're unlike in 2020, 2016, and back, they're actually listening this time around because they know they can be silenced.
I think that's a fair point. And a lot of people are forgetting, you know, how and what they did to the church community. And sadly, many churches have yet to really recover, you know, the membership that went away, did not come back once the churches reopened. And for me, I wrote an entire book about this. That was one of my greatest concerns, was how quickly we were willing to surrender our civil liberties. That is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Troy, I live in Memphis. We are controlled by Democrats, and I see every church, every predominant, majority black city, every black church in this city is mobilized, and they are involved in the political process. And I just don't see the evangelical churches doing and being involved at that level. And I think that shows when you see what's happening in the city with the politics and with the really with the morality issues here in Memphis.
Well, yeah, exactly, Todd. And here's the problem with that. The IRS code, which is known as a Johnson Amendment, this is an amendment that Lyndon B. Johnson got pushed through Congress, attached to some laws. The amendment itself was never voted on. And this, back in the 1950s, has done more to silence the evangelical pulpits and pulpits across this church, this country, than almost anything. Think about it. For 175 years, pulpits across this church were involved in the civil process, the democratic processes of this country. And then all of a sudden, Lyndon B. Johnson decides churches didn't want him to get in. He hides behind the mask of I'm fighting communism and silences the churches. And this law has been just improperly applied. If you're a progressive liberal church, you can do all the mobilization you want. You're not going to hear from the IRS. But we've had many of our members, many churches who've done the same thing on the conservative side, and the IRS immediately sends them a letter saying, if you want to lose your nonprofit status, you can't do this anymore. So we're taking the IRS to court on this to be able to open up and free the voices of pulpits across this country on both sides. And don't get me wrong, we don't argue. Either side should be able to talk about the issues of the political issues of today. And that's one thing we at NRB are fighting right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Troy. And I really appreciate the great work you're doing at NRB. And it is so vitally important. And not only that, but also the work you guys are doing to save AM radio. I'll give you the final 30 seconds on that, because that is a huge, huge issue that could impact many religious radio stations.
That's exactly right. Top two genres on AM radio are Christian teaching talk and conservative talk. So we know why the left wants to silence AM radio, but you made a great point. These two storms that just hit show the importance of AM radio for two reasons. One, radio stayed on the air to get the information out. And two, it's been AM radio and Christian radio stations who have been the first responders to help get aid into these people when the government has just failed miserably. So AM radio and AM Christian stations need to stay on the air. Let your congressman know that.
All right, Troy, we're going to leave it there. Good info. And folks, the message here, get out and vote on Election Day. Troy, thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, Troy Miller from the NRB National Religious Broadcasters. And he's right about that AM radio. I'm telling you, folks, the only reason they're coming after AM radio is because Christians and conservatives are the predominant audience. I mean, it really is that simple. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I love the product because I'm already here at almost 80 knocking on my door. When I started taking Balance of Nature, I'm telling you, It wasn't a month after that, maybe 2 months after that, I started really feeling the difference.
I love Balance of Nature. I will take it to the day I die. It's wonderful. I feel so much better. I'm telling everybody about it. And I just feel better. I mean, it's just amazing how much better I feel on this stuff. I got excited about the product because I started feeling better. They asked me, does it work? I said, yes, it works. You got to try it. It will work.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
So I got a message. What is the Johnson Amendment? All right. Well, before Lyndon Johnson became president, he was the Senate Majority Leader. Very powerful man. Probably one of the most powerful men in the U.S. Senate. And he was in a very, very ugly reelection campaign. His opponent happened to be a Catholic. And also, there were a number of very conservative anti-communist groups that were going after Lyndon Johnson as well. So anyway, Johnson used his power in the Congress to change the IRS rules and therefore ended up silencing every church in America. So it was all done for political purposes. That's why he wanted to shut down. He wanted to shut down the churches and also prevent pastors from endorsing, publicly endorsing political candidates. And that's exactly what happened. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Mike in Tennessee, KWAM, our great affiliate there. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Greetings, Todd. If they look closely to the IRS code, there is actually a, you can list yourself as a ministry and you can say anything you want political all day long. And if you're worried about tax exemption, get your congressman that you've had the Republicans in charge of both House and Senate for a long time. Get them to change it so that if you want to be able to deduct it, you can. But if you're in a true ministry, why do you even care about that? Just preach the gospel. Tell the truth.
And it's a fair point, Mike. And going back to the first 2 years of the Trump administration, the Republicans controlled everything and they had the opportunity. And by the way, this is not something Trump has the power to do. This has to be done through Congress. Only Congress can remove this, which is why we need the Republicans. If they're lucky enough to regain control of the House and the Senate, that needs to be the first order of business.
But you got to have conservative Republicans and not rhinos and those that just, you know, put on a mask. And because the issue is telling the truth, okay? And if you're going to proselytize that you're a follower of Christ, you should be telling the truth. And if you're saying that you're opposed to, let's say, the COVID shot, don't promote the COVID shot.
Fair enough. Now, I will say this, that most churches, and I'm going to say black churches because this is where it is predominant, in most black churches, they completely ignore the Johnson Amendment and nobody ever comes after them. But there have been some conservative leaning congregations that have talked about politics in the pulpit, and they have been slapped with IRS penalties as a result of it. So there you go.
And the IRS agents need to be prosecuted for going down one side of the aisle and not the other.
Absolutely.
The law needs to be changed. Yes, the system has been corrupted, and these institutions, such as the IRS and the FBI, as Vivek Ramaswamy said, just need to clean house.
Yeah, it's true. Mike, good call and good thoughts. Let's go to Bunny in North Carolina. Hi, Bunny. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. God bless you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
It's in regards to early voting. Being an American that has experienced our technology, the technology that the United States has, and having a vote being suppressed, I discourage early voting. The easiest way for me to say it is when they know where you're going, they can get there before you. So if a certain area in early voting has so many votes, then it's possible that area can be tampered with. And then Last but not least, today is 10-10, which is XX Day for Real Women, and I want to support Riley Gaines and everything that she does, Seth Dillon on Twitter, and at Angela and the Goons on Twitter. I think she's TikTok, but thank you, and I would vote on voting day.
I love that. And by the way, Riley Gaines is coming up here in just a few moments, so you're going to want to stick around and listen to that conversation, because she is really doing – she is helping to show teenage yes. girls that they can have the courage to stand up and fight against these transgender athletes.
Yes.
I love it. All right, Bunny, good hearing from you, and thanks for that. Happy XX Day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. There you go. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. By the way, New York high school students are going to be participating in a statewide walkout against transgender athletes competing in girls' sports. That is a huge development. Again, New York State. Well done, girls. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Wait, is this real? Seriously. All right. We've just gotten some video, and I've just shared this on my my X feed. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is said, I'm going to describe this to you. There's no audio here except for this song. And team, have we figured out what the name of the song is that they're playing here? We have no idea. It's a very like a sensual song. And anyway, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, is she a lesbian by any chance? Do we know this? Can we find out? I don't think she's a lesbian. I mean, not that it matters at all, but maybe it would help this video make a little bit more sense. So let me describe this. There's a sensual song going on in the background, and there's a young lady wearing a pink sweater, and she's kneeling. She's on her knees before Gretchen Whitmer, who's wearing a camo Harris Walds ball cap and this rather form-fitting dress. And as the music is playing, are they in a hotel room? It's hard to tell. Anyway, she is seductively feeding the young lady on her knees from a bag of Doritos. And we're trying to figure out what this means. No, I don't know if it came from her OnlyFans account. I don't know. But we're going to look into this. But it's very strange. People of Michigan, what is wrong with your governor? Something is not quite right there. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. We have got a lot going on this hour. There is a big story developing out of New York State where high school students are going to participate in a statewide walkout against transgender athletes competing in girls' sports. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and it's an honor to have Riley Gaines with us. She's the director of the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute, also a host on OutKick Gaines for Girls. Riley, good to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It is a joy to be on with you.
All right. Let's, first of all, I have to tell you, I actually name drop you in a speech I gave in Washington over the weekend as an example of why I have hope in America, because you had the courage to stand up to this incredible force of bad in this country. And as a result of doing so, now you've got so many other young girls that are willing to take a stand because of what you did. And it is really courageous of you for standing up in the face of these radical activists out there.
Well, that means a whole lot. But let me tell you, it's wild that we even have to. It blows my mind that it's considered courageous to say the things that I'm saying and do the things that I'm doing, because in reality, I don't feel brave. I really don't. I've in these past 2 years or so since advocating for this issue, of course, the issue of men being permitted to play in women's sports and enter into our bathrooms and our other spaces like prisons or sororities, what have you. In these past few years, I mean, I really haven't said anything that's profound or requires an immense amount of wisdom. I really have only said that there are two sexes and you can't change your sex, and that each sex is deserving of equal opportunity and privacy and safety. But nonetheless, we live in a time where that is considered brave. But I just look at it as kind of like the emperor wears no clothes parable, and just being willing to say that this is a naked man, no pun intended.
No, it's a fair point you make. And by the way, happy XX Day, Real Women's Day. We actually had a caller just a few moments ago, and I know they're listening, and they were the first to announce XX Day. When you look at what's happening in New York, when you look at what's happening in the Mountain West division of college athletics, where we're up to four universities now refusing to play San Jose State because of the man on the women's volleyball team. What does that tell you about what's happening in this country?
It tells me that we're winning. To see people, let me clarify, actually, not just people, to see young girls. That's the reality of the situation. To see girls as young as, I mean, we've seen middle schoolers have to ultimately make the decision to concede or forfeit a match or a game against a boy. To see this now in the year of 2024, I mean, we wouldn't have seen this 2 years ago. So it shows me just how far we have come, the progress we have made in reclaiming our own spaces, which, again, is admirable. I really do. I applaud these girls in the Mountain West Conference. I applaud these students in New York. I applaud those five young girls, like I said, middle schoolers in West Virginia who weren't willing to throw shot put against a boy. Because it does. It takes an overwhelming amount of courage and leadership, certainly more courage and leadership than was shown by the adults who were supposed to be protecting them, whose job it was, actually, to protect them, like their coaches, like athletic directors and presidents of universities, even parents, quite frankly, have failed their kids. And so I applaud them, and I stand alongside them. It is that type of courage that begets courage. As you said, four schools, four universities in the Mountain West Conference have ultimately forfeited and taken a loss their match against the San Jose State University women's volleyball team, again, which is not really a women's volleyball team when they have a man on their team. But what you can expect is more schools are in the pipeline to do so. Some will announce as early as next week that they're also not going to be playing San Jose State University.
Riley, looking back over these past couple of years, did you have any indication this is where your life would be heading and this would become your life's work?
No way. How could you? Like I said, I mean, this is never a position that I imagined myself in, never a position I would have imagined it would be necessary for anyone to take. I was in dental school, actually, after college, in dental school at University of Tennessee, which is in Memphis. But my world, I mean, just did a total 180, but that's absolutely how God works. I mean, he puts people in positions to accomplish his will. And I mean, I really do. I feel his hand on me. I feel him providing me with strength and wisdom and guidance and direction and protection and all the things. And so I just remind myself of that. No, it's not a position I want to be in,
but it's one that's necessary, it's one that's worthwhile, and it's one that is really spirit-led.
That's interesting you said spirit-led, because, I mean, it had to have been a big decision for you, and, you know, to step out there when so many others, even people much older and more well-established than you, refused to address this issue.
That's right. It was not something that I ever wanted, to be very clear, again, just to reiterate, even still not a position that I want to be in. I think you have to be clinically insane to want to be in the position that I'm in. But through prayer, through talking with my family, you know, my husband, my friends, my coaches, my athletic director at the University of Kentucky, I've had an immense amount of support. People who were on my side, people who said, fight the fight. Be the voice for the voiceless. You know, I have a younger sister who's 15. She's an elite level gymnast. She'll go on to do incredible things. Being married for 2.5 years, I can only hope to have a daughter of my own one day. And really, I just reached this point where, having stayed quiet for many months leading up to that national championship, let me be very clear, I had cowered, okay? I would call it naive. I just thought someone else would say something. But I just began to feel guilty. That's how I felt. I felt a sense of responsibility. I felt just as bad as the people who created and enforced these policies, if I was willing to go along with it, which I was doing. I knew it was wrong. We all did. We knew it was unfair. We knew the locker room was wrong. We knew the silencing that we were facing from our universities was wrong. But nonetheless, I didn't find it necessary to speak out until I was directly impacted, which left me feeling responsible.
I think it was interesting. You've got a column up on OutKick, and you point out that coaches really are the key to stopping all of this.
That's right. They are the ones who, again, it's their job, their most basic duty, to defend and protect and advocate for their athletes. And by allowing, or oftentimes even encouraging, men to play on women's sports, or your female team to play against a team that has a man on their women's team, they're failing miserably. Not just failing themselves, they're failing their athletes. They're failing the next generation. And so, we need to see coaches. We need to see coaches with a backbone, which is something that is seemingly a lost trait nowadays. Coaches with a moral compass. Coaches who are willing to draw a line in the sand and say, look, you know, I know this might mean we take a loss like those four schools that forfeited. I know this could even potentially threaten my job, but what good is my job if I'm not even really willing to do it? And so I absolutely agree that we need to see coaches who are willing to take it on the chin, quite frankly.
Riley Gaines on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And Riley, of course, today is Real Women's Day. How are ladies and women across America, how do they celebrate?
Well, it's this is something that I came up with last year. I was thinking to myself during Women's History Month, which is in March, if you didn't know, all these awards were going to men that were supposed to rightfully recognize women. I thought to myself, how can we get back to honoring real women when it's a women's award to be had October 10th, it's the 10th day of the 10th month, which in Roman numerals is denoted by XX. And if you took biology 101, you know XX are the female chromosomes. And so I've been super encouraged. It was read, a resolution was introduced in the U.S. House honoring October 10th as Real Women's Day. Same thing in the Senate by Senator Marsha Blackburn. We just saw J.K. Rowling post today in support of XX Real Women's Day. And so I think what we can do, talk about it, post about it. Everyone has a circle of influence, and it's a wonderful way to not shy away from the conversation that needs to be had pertaining to biological reality, common sense, and women's rights. Again, women's rights, not even just women's rights. I mean, this is really, it's humanity we're talking about here. But our rights as human beings to equal opportunities, to safety, and to privacy where it's necessary.
I think it's terrific. And, Riley, we're going to have to leave it there, folks. RileyGainCenter.org, the website, RileyGainCenter.org. We have a link to it on our live show blog. Riley, thanks for coming on. Thanks for being courageous, and happy Real Women's Day.
And you. Thank you, guys.
All right. There you go. Riley Gaines. What a great American patriot. And a fellow Tennessean as well. I didn't realize she went to a dental school here in Memphis. We actually do have an incredible medical community here, medical schools, and a lot of people come from all over the world to study medicine here in the Memphis area. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I love the product, because I'm already here at almost 80 knocking on my door. When I started taking Balance of Nature, I'm telling you, it wasn't a month after that, maybe 2 months after that, I started really feeling the difference.
I love Balance of Nature. I will take it till the day I die. It's wonderful. I feel so much better. I'm telling everybody about it. And I just feel better. I mean, it's just amazing how much better I feel on this stuff. I got excited about the product because I started feeling better. They asked me, does it work? I said, yes, it works. You got to try it. It will work.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
I need some Doritos. So I'm going to describe this as we're listening to the music playing here. Ben Dieter, I've asked you to come into the studio here, and I'm not seductively feeding you Doritos, but that's what Gretchen Whitmer was doing.
Hey there, Todd.
Hey, Dieter.
The mood, the lights have been dimmed.
Wasn't that weird?
There, you know, in the Titanic, the glass of the automobile fogged up. That's the mood, having watched this. Except just not in Todd's studio, because Todd would kick me out.
But instead of the, you know, in the Titanic where they had the handprint going down, there's like an orange because of the Dorito dust.
Yeah, she's got the Dorito dust on her hands.
That's strange. Is she? I thought she was a hetero, but it's giving lesbian vibes.
Big Gretch.
Big Gretch.
Big old Gretch.
Do we know what the significance of this is?
The Republicans are weird.
No. Well, the Democrats are weird.
Right? I mean, they've been screaming about J.D. Vance being weird. I don't see J.D. hand-feeding someone Doritos.
That's true. Now, you might remember a few days ago, though, Kamala Harris was talking about loving Doritos. Right. Remember, she was doing the interview to boost her black street cred, and she talked about loving Doritos.
Oh, yes.
That's how she pronounced it. Doritos.
So apparently this was a far left podcaster, and Gretchen Whitmer. And I'm not just saying that to slander or defame her. That's her actual nickname. She made that the title of her book, Big Gretch. So she goes on the podcast and they're talking about the things that she's done in her state, and after the taping of the podcast, that is when this video appeared, and now a lot of people are saying, what is going on in this studio?
I'm not quite sure that explains it. I just have more questions.
I know.
So good. So at least it wasn't a staffer or an intern, and she was doing something inappropriate.
No.
Okay. Well, she may still be doing something inappropriate, but just with a podcaster.
You know, it was a catchy tune, though.
It was. That's Nelly, is that right?
Oh, so, okay, yeah, that was Nelly.
Okay.
It was a Canadian feminist podcaster. Name is Liz Plank for an abortion podcast episode. So the pair released this video following the bizarre episode that we're talking about to get more votes. During the podcast, the podcaster asked Big Gretch if she ever thought about post-birth abortions on her two daughters. So there was a lot of bizarre stuff happening in this podcast. That's according to the papers.
She was eating Doritos while
yes.
that? Okay.
Yeah.
That's very strange. Man, those Democrats are weird, man. Weird. By the way, You were at the grocery store yesterday. I saw your post on X. And, folks, if you haven't followed Ben Dieter, you need to. What's your Twitter handle?
I don't know. Don't worry
it's
about
Ben,
it. Just listen to the morning
Ben
show.
Ben P. Dieter.
You can't tell people my middle name.
Okay. Well, it's that's your Twitter handle.
Peter Dieter.
Is it really?
One of the apostles, Paul.
Your parents love you.
Yeah, they do. Okay, this is a huge deal, though. And I have to ask your listeners if they've noticed the cost of produce going up in their Kroger, Walmart, Aldi, you name it. Guess how much a pint of blueberries from Peru, nonetheless, were.
You're eating non-American fruit?
Yep.
I don't know. What, a buck?
No! Times 13. Todd, they were $12.99 for some blueberries.
Like for 3 gallons of blueberries?
You would have thought they were like dipped in gold. They weren't. Not even chocolate. They were regular strawberries imported from the Peruvians.
Really? Are they? Strawberries or blueberries?
Blueberries.
Okay. And there is just like a little box of them?
They weren't even the ginormous jumbo blueberries that I love, but are a little bit pricier. They were the regular blueberries. $13.
$13.
It was a Kamala cart.
Did you buy them?
No. You don't pay me that much.
That's true.
My salary is all right, but not that. I mean, that's insane.
I usually don't go by the produce section, so I'll have to go check it out.
He does Balance of Nature. You don't need to.
That's right.
Yep.
I take enough of those things. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, you get your fruit and your veggies.
And a lot cheaper, so plug
that's
to that.
That's right. By golly, balanceofnature.com.
Have you seen it increase at your... You go to the big Kroger over in Germantown.
Yeah, I have seen prices go up, and we'll throw it out to the audience. You know, are you guys seeing the same kind of prices? Dieter is saying in Memphis, blueberries, $13 for a little tiny batch of them. Is that what you call them? A batch?
Yeah. A bushel.
A bushel. Big Gretch. All right. We better be quiet. Hey, hour three of the Big Show coming up next. 901-260-5926.
In a world where healthcare costs spiral out of control, ShareRight emerges as the beacon of hope, offering healthcare done the right way. We understand the struggle of balancing health and finances. That's why ShareRight fosters a community of support, where members share medical expenses and encourage one another. Picture saving 30 to 50% on your healthcare bills. With ShareRight, it's not just a dream, it's reality, but it's more than just savings. ShareRight grants you the access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, don't settle for outdated insurance. Join the ShareRight movement and experience healthcare done the right way. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun toting, Bible clinging, deplorable American.
That's us! That's right! American
Ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. We made it to hour three. Good to have you with us. Wow. Still laughing over that last segment with Ben Dieter. By the way, interesting headline that I'm staring at right now from the Washington Times. White liberals more likely to have a mental health condition. So that, you know, now that I know that, the whole Gretchen Whitmer sexy Dorito thing makes perfect sense. So anyway, there you go. According to the Washington Times, white liberals are more prone to mental health disorders than individuals who identify as conservative or moderates. They are citing a new Pew Research Center survey. 62% of whites who classify themselves as very liberal have been told by a doctor they have a mental health condition. That's compared to 26% of conservatives and 20% of moderates. Yeah, I believe that. All right. Hey, real quick here, I've got to get to the phone. We've had some folks holding on for a while. And Sam in North Carolina, listening to us on WSJS, wants to weigh in on Riley Gaines, who was a guest in our last hour. Hi, Sam. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to your conversation with Miss Gaines, and I've heard her on other programs, and I don't know where the women of America thought the women's liberation movement was going to end up other than where it is now with all this craziness. When women started saying they wanted to be the policeman, they wanted to be the fireman, they wanted to be the Marine Corps man. And I can remember back in the 80s, I believe, when women sports reporters wanted to go in the men's locker room after the game to do interviews. Where did they think all this was going to end up?
With men identifying as women? I don't know.
Well, the men, they're getting, the way I see it, what goes around comes around. The men are now trying to take the women's trophies in women's sports.
So do you not believe, I want to make sure I'm understanding you here correctly, Sam. So you don't believe that women should be police officers or postal workers or firefighters?
No, I believe those are men's jobs.
Okay, so what would you consider to be a woman's job?
Secretary, wife, mother, homemaker.
Okay. So, what do you base all that? I'm just curious, what do you base all of that on, that women have a specific assignment? You know, these are the things that a woman can be.
That's just my general understanding from Scripture, the Bible. That is the woman's role in life. To be a helpmate to her husband, a wife, mother, and homemaker.
Do you believe that young girls, and again, Riley Gaines was on to talk about, you know, getting men out of women's sports. Are you okay with that, or do you believe that men can identify as women and they can play in women's sports?
I think that men that are doing that are mentally unbalanced. They need mental help. Nevertheless, I'm just saying, where did women think all this was going to end up?
So
when they started saying back in the women's liberation movement, they didn't want any part of God's plan.
Well,
they wanted to be like the dude.
What if God's plan is for a woman to, you know, be in the workplace?
Well,
is that okay?
I suppose there are instances where that would be advantageous.
So
but in general, when you start cutting off men from opportunities in their life, it appears now we have the evidence that they're going to go haywire.
Well, I'm just looking at, when you look at men, these transgender dudes, these guys who think they're girls, they were basically mediocre athletes who saw the girls as easy prey, and, you know, they put on a skirt or whatever, a bikini, and they said, okay, I'm going to identify as a girl so I can beat all the girls. I got a problem with that.
Well, I'm not saying that that's moral or correct. I'm just saying I see this as the inevitable outcome of what women started. Well, when I grew up back in the 50s and 60s, you know, all the jobs out in the workplace, they were all men.
So you remember Leave It to Beaver? That, you know, they had June Cleaver in the household. Remember that? She was in the kitchen in the high heels and the skirt. Is that your idea?
Absolutely. And Miss Gaines, I believe you said she was going to dental school to be a dentist. That's a man's job.
Where does it say? I'm just curious where you get that. And by the way, I want to go back to June Cleaver. So you are do you have a problem with June Cleaver? I mean, that was a character. That was a woman who was actually working as an actress. So would she have been violating your edict? Curious here, Sam. Are you married, Sam? Is there a Mrs. Sam?
I'm 70 years old. I'm widowed now.
Oh, you are. All right. Well, I'm curious. Do you have daughters, granddaughters?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what about them? And do they ascribe to that?
This is what I give them my opinion. That just like I've given it to you, I tell them they need to hold to a traditional women's role.
Okay.
In this world.
And I'm
Miss Riley Gaines and all the women of America are getting their comeuppance back now in spades.
You see, I'm trying to follow the logic here, Sam, and I hear what you're saying, and there are some faith traditions out there and faith groups that say there are specific roles for a woman and specific roles for a man. I get that. I personally disagree with that. My executive producer is Grace Baker, and she does an amazing job running this program. And I couldn't think of anybody else. I couldn't think of anybody else to do the job that she is doing. So, again, I'm just trying to understand that. Sam, we're going to open this conversation up to our listeners and see if they share the same values that you do. And, Sam, I appreciate you calling in. And Sam says that the transgender movement was basically birthed out of the women's rights movement and the feminist movement, I believe, of the 1960s and the 70s, which, by the way, gave birth to Phyllis Schlafly, who was probably one of the fiercest defenders of traditional women's roles. And again, feminism, the feminist movement basically said, you are lesser of a woman if you stay at home and raise your kids and run your household. That was the message of the feminist movement back then. 901-260-5926. Do you agree or disagree with Sam? That's 901-260-5926. We're going to take your calls on this. First, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
All right, men, buckle up. It's about to get interesting. Let's go to the phone lines here. Barbara, listening to us in Louisiana on KROF, great radio station in Lafayette. Hey, Barbara, so what say you?
Oh, Todd, women in the kitchen. I think the man that you were talking with, in a way he's right, but in the other way, the problem, I think, is that women that are in men's, that's in quote, men's occupations, is that the standards have been so lowered for the women to get in that that's the problem, or one of the problems, because when they lowered the standards, it also lowered the standards for men. So you've got a bunch of people that just are not qualified for the jobs they're in. Does that make sense?
No, I think that's fair. For example, in the military, where they're having to lower the standards because the women that are trying to enter the military cannot meet the same standards as the men. And I see that as a big problem. No, I get that. I get that.
Yeah. It's not just the military. It's in the police, the fire department. I mean, just medical. What have they done in medical schools? I mean, they have just completely turned them around into giving you a prescription instead of treating people, you know, what's wrong. And it's men, women, whether they're here in America or they come from another country to go to schools here or to you know, be Americans. It's really sad. It really is sad.
I will say this. Some of the best cooks that I know are down in Louisiana, and they're all men, Barbara.
Excuse me?
Yes.
I have a pot on the stove right now. You want to taste it? Come down here. Now, you'll have some good eating. And it's not Cajun either. It's just...
You know what I'm talking about. Those the guys with the big old jambalaya pots, and they're throwing in the crawfish, and they're making the etouffee.
Todd, that is only because they're the ones getting publicity.
Oh, is that it, Barb? Okay.
That's
all right.
It.
That may be fair. All right. That could be fair. All right. Well, what's for supper then, Barbara?
I got a great big old pot of veggie soup with everything from cabbage to carrots, celery. Then I threw in some, barley that I had cooked the other day, and that was left over. You know, you kind of clean up the fridge.
Some of the best food I have had has been in Lafayette. That's one of the reasons I love coming down and hanging out. Good people down in Lafayette, but the food is off the charts.
You should taste my son-in-law's cooking. Unreal.
Mm.
It is. He wants to open a restaurant, but we've talked him out of that. It's too much that goes along with a restaurant.
All right, Barbara, we're going to let you go. You give us a call back, and next time I'm in Lafayette, I'm going to look you up. I want some soup.
You better do that. I would love that.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Barbara. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Greg in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, Greg, what say you? Hello, Greg.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on Sam's comments.
You're coming in loud and clear. Let me set this back up. We had a caller from Winston-Salem, and his name is Sam. He's a widower. And Sam says that women don't need to be in the workforce. They should not be police officers or firefighters. They should basically stay at home. And that's what led to this rather interesting conversation. So, Greg, what say you?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. He mentioned about a religious perspective, and I just wanted to touch on that point. If you go back to the Bible, the family was a big collective, aunts, uncles, everyone. They're all goat herders, and the women worked just as hard as the men. They each had individual jobs. Even Solomon told us that, you know, women are supposed to be diligent with their money and be hardworking. So I kind of disagree about Sam. I think women can be cops. They can be whatever to hold that position. They can work hard. They're told to. So no, I don't think they should stay at home and just cook. Although that role is very important. And if they choose to do that, then that's their choice.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And again, I think there are plenty of jobs that women can do. And I don't ascribe to the, you know, stay home, be barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen. There are a lot of people out there that believe that that's the case. But yeah, I'm with you, Greg. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Marie. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead and finish your thought, Greg.
Okay. I was just going to say, yeah, we have a different work dynamic today than we did, you know, 3,000 years ago, but you can still apply some of those biblical principles today. And, yeah, women should be able to be cops and policemen. That's all I was going to say. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Greg. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Ruth Ann in Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Ruth Ann. What say you?
I say, oh, boy, my blood was boiling. I called you the first day that we were open here. I never got my book because they forgot to tell me to hold on. But anyway, I am 84 years old. I was a missionary for years, teaching missionary kids, a job you could never do if you were married and had children. And then I taught bilingual education in California. Then I came up to Oregon. And I have completely remodeled, totally run down, 3 duplexes, a 6-plex, 2 houses, and I maintained... Now, this includes things like redoing the bathrooms and changing light fixtures and fixing the plumbing and putting in new windows and doors.
Wow.
And landscaping and fences and everything. I have a beautiful house, and almost everything in here I replaced. I did all of this because I know how to do it, and I enjoy doing it, and the idea... Of course, I was fortunate. I grew up on a farm, and my father, when he needed help, he called on whoever was close, whether it was one of his 2 daughters or his 2 sons. And so we learned to do all kinds of things. And as a kid, I played softball in a one-room school, and I watched the Little League. I always watched their championships. And I sit there and I think, man, if that had been available when I was a kid and I could have had a uniform and they would have let me play with a baseball instead of a softball, wow, would I have loved that. So, I mean, but at the same time, I'm a conservative woman, and I do not believe that they should lower the standards to where women who can't do the job are fired and things like that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ruth Ann, and I'm just finding it very hard to understand. You know, Sam is trying to connect that to that's the reason why guys are pretending to be women. It's like payback or something. I don't think that. I just think the guys are, you know, they're mentally not there. You know, there's a mental issue there.
And this last guy that talked to you, I agree with him, too, because I studied the Bible, and people don't realize most of this standard in a lot of, and I'm in a very conservative church, and I had to fight all the time when I was with the mission because, I mean, we were put down all the time. And you just put up with it and went on with your job. But if people really knew what the people in biblical times were like, they would have realized that those men could not have survived a minute without the women. They were doing, beside them, maybe the men were doing the hardest, heaviest labor, but the women were doing all this stuff. They were weaving the cloth, and they were doing all this stuff. And this idea that the women from the 40s, the standard that we have here from the 40s is what our churches took on. You know, the man goes off to work every morning, the woman stays home and takes care of the kids. That was not what it was like at all. And I grew up on a farm where if my mother hadn't been a great worker, we would have gone under.
Sun up to sun down, and it's all hands on deck, so especially on a farm. Ruth Ann, look, I think it's a great point. I want to put you on hold, and let's make sure we get Ruth Ann a copy. We'll need to figure out what book it was. I think it was Twilight's Last Gleaming.
It was the first one, the devotional thing.
Oh, all right, our Daily Biscuit. So what we're going to do, Ruth Ann, I'm going to send you the Daily Biscuit book, and I'm also going to send you a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming.
That's the
brand new book that just came out. So we'll make up for that. And we're going to get that out to you lickety split. So Ruth Ann, thank you. Let's put Ruth Ann on hold and we'll get her taken care of. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up. Wow. This is exciting. The Great American Prayer Event. We're going to tell you all about that. Also, a weird moment in a Biden press conference. We'll tell you more about that, too. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, just got an email from Larry Joe in Gainesville, Georgia, and said, remind that guy that World War II was actually won on the backs of women working in our aircraft factories. You know, Larry Joe, that's a great point. During World War II, most of the men of a certain age were off fighting the war, and you had a lot of women having to go into those factories and take up those jobs that the men once held, and they called it Rosie the Riveter. Remember that? So there you go. Larry Joe, it's a great point. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up on Newsmax tonight on the Todd Stern Show, 5 o'clock Eastern. Wow, it's going to be a great show. By the way, millions of Americans are now turning off old media and tuning into Newsmax. Newsmax is real news you can trust. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, we announced that Newsmax was going public. You can become an owner of Newsmax by purchasing preferred shares. You can find out more information at NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. And join the news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax is now one of the top brands in America. So go check it out. Find out how you can become an investor. NewsmaxInvest.com. Well, a very important event is coming up in just a couple of weeks, and this is an important one. It's called the Great American Prayer Event. It is a grassroots initiative scheduled for November the 4th. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now and say hello to Hank Irwin, who is founder of the Great American Prayer Event. Hank, good to have you with us today.
Well, Todd, thank you for letting me join you. I am a real fan of your show, and I salute you. You make Tennessee proud and all of America for what you stand for, so it's a great honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you for those kind words. Well, let's talk about this. You guys have a group called Revival Nashville, and this is something that you want to take to all 50 states. Tell us all about it.
Exciting things are happening that came out of Nashville. We have a group of men that have been praying for revival in America for about the last 8 months, and then the Lord came to us in the middle of the summer and says, I want you to go for this, to have a prayer meeting the night before the big general election. Nobody has ever done that before, to have a big nationwide prayer event to ask God, what does he want to do? It seems like we always turn to some other source other than God to say, what do you want to happen for America? And so we thought, let's go for it. So we put out the clarion call all across the United States for all of the churches in America. Open your doors that night of Monday, November the 4th, and let the people come in and pray for America. You know, the election on November 5th is going to be the election of all time. And whatever happens out of that election will affect the destiny of the United States of America. That's our opinion. So this is a time we really need to seek God before we go vote. And this is not a partisan thing. This is not a Trump thing. This is not a Harris thing. It's not Democrat or Republican. It's just Christians saying, hey, listen, let's pray. We need to pray before we go vote. And as a result, it has caught fire all over the United States. It is turning into one big prairie fire of people saying, that's right, that's what we need to do. So we're calling it the Great American Prayer Event. It is going to be coast to coast. It's going to start on the East Coast at 6 p.m., and then like a wave of prayer, it's going to go all the way across America by time zones and end in Los Angeles on the West Coast. And it is going to be an amazing thing. Everybody is excited about it, and we are delighted to encourage everybody to get involved. Get your little church, get your group of folks. You can't pray in a church, go in a park, get you some friends around and pray for America. Pray for revival, pray for healing, pray for unity, pray for the great America that you've always loved. This is the time we need to do it. And everybody has gotten on board and said, this is awesome. Count me. I'm in.
I love this idea. And just thinking about the prospect of having millions and millions of Christians in all 50 states holding simultaneous prayer meetings, that kind of sends the Jesus bumps up the spine.
Yes, it does. And the amazing thing about it, Todd, is this. Everybody that hears about it doesn't even try to ponder it and think about it. They immediately say, that's it. I'm in.
Yeah.
And they really want to go back and get their communities involved. And everybody that's talking about it everywhere all over America, we've now got 47 states that have signed on. We got three more we'll round up by the end of this week. And then we're going to have all 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii, all involved in this thing, saying this is what we've been waiting for. An opportunity where Christians can stand up and say, we're going to do something positive. We're not going to talk to you about arguing this or arguing that. We're going to talk to you about praying. Let's pray. And as a result, it's caught fire all over the United States. It's an amazing thing, and it keeps getting bigger. We're now even going to live stream this. We're going to live stream the whole thing and take you all over the country by live stream and let you see every state in the union praying for America. We're even going to throw in some bonus shots that you're going to see that are just going to say, this is an amazing thing. It's our time, Todd. It's our time for Christians to stand up and say, follow us. This is positive. You can't get upset about it. We're going to pray for America. Come join us. And it's an amazing appeal. It's an amazing message.
Now, Hank, you guys have a website here called, and I'm just going to share this with you folks, gap-event.org, gap-event.org. And you'll be able to hop onto this website, all sorts of information, and you'll also be able to find out who your state ambassadors are. And I'm assuming those would be the contact people in those particular states. Hank, you mentioned there are three states that have not, you guys don't have anybody signed up just yet. Do you want to share those states?
Well, we're working on them right now, and they're on the East Coast. They're Maryland, Delaware, and Rhode Island. Those are the last three, and we'll have those done by the end of the week. But everything else, we've got excited people all over the United States, people saying, hey, listen, can I do that? I want to do that. And what we try to tell people is there's something you can do in every state. Because what we've told our people, just bring to the table what God tells you to do. It's a God thing that's happening. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's a God thing. So whatever you can do to bring a message, hey, let's pray the night before, you're going to be serving the Lord, and it's going to make him mighty, mighty happy. So that's what we recommend the people to do. Just whatever the Lord puts on your heart to get people praying on that Monday night, you take it, be encouraged, and it will be a blessing to everybody.
I love this idea. And, folks, there's no reason why every single one of us should not be involved in this. I know we have a lot of listeners in Delaware. We need folks in Delaware to sign up for this and get involved, Maryland and Rhode Island as well. I wonder, we'll have to get Miss Carlotta, one of our Rhode Island listeners. Maybe she'll call in and we'll be able to get Rhode Island on that list as well. Hank, I just think this is a wonderful thing. We will keep promoting it here on this program. And again, the website, Hank, give that address out again.
Again, it's GAP, G-A-P. It stands for Great American Prayer Event. It's taken from Ezekiel 22:30, where God sought for a man to stand in the gap. And that's what it's all about. So it's GAP, GAP-event.org. And you can get all of the information, see all of the videos, and get fired up to pray for America.
I love this. Hank Irwin, you got a great family, and we're just so excited about what God is doing through you guys. And we're excited to be a part of the Great American Prayer Event. Thanks a lot, Hank.
All right. You have a great day. Keep up the good work.
All right, Hank Irwin, everybody, founder of the Great American Prayer Event. It's nonpartisan. Look, this is not about Trump, not about Harris. This is about the American people getting back to the faith of our founding fathers. And he is, Hank Irwin, calling all of us to prayer on November the 4th, all 50 states. And if you want to be a part of it, if you want to see what's happening, go to GAP-event.org. We're going to put that up on the live show blog as well. You'll be able to find it later if you're listening to the podcast. Wow, I love that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Then to the phones we go. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's get right to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Mary Lynn in Minnesota. Hi, Mary Lynn. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Well, I'd just like to comment on the remarks of the guy that said that women today are seeing the results of the feminist movement. I agree with him about that. I think the whole world is reaping the results of that. But I disagree with him that young women today are deserving of that because of the feminist movement. Are you there?
Yep, listening.
Oh, okay, sorry. Well, my battery was almost dead on my phone, so I wasn't sure that it hadn't shut off. But anyway, sometime in the early in the 1970s, my sister and I were invited to a coffee at one of her neighbors. And it didn't take me long to realize that most of them were much more liberal about every issue than I was. And I was very uncomfortable with it. And I thought, oh my gosh, what are we starting here? And I think we are reaping the results of that now, including the whole abortion thing, where women think the whole world revolves around them and they can do whatever they want. How dare you try to stop me? And that's what the Riley Gaines of the world are up against now. I think the whole thing is connected.
Well, it could be. And again, I think back to the idea of the feminist movement, quite frankly, was really bad, because they were basically saying women don't have choices when it comes to career paths, that you have to go. If you stay at home, then that makes you a lesser person.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I always had a problem with that. I mean, if God tells you as a woman, I want you in the workplace, you got to go to the workplace. That's where God wants you to go. If God wants you to stay at home, you stay at home.
And if God wants you to be there, he's going to find a way for you to be there.
Exactly. All right. Mary Lynn, thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio. This is from Mark Halperin, one of the pollsters over on Newsmax, and things are not looking good for Kamala Harris. They are in a tailspin right now, and they can't get out of it. Cut number six.
I just saw some new private polling today that's very robust private polling. She's in a lot of trouble. Here's how I framed it this morning in my newsletter. The conversation I'm having with Trump people and Democrats with data are extremely bullish on Trump's chances in the last 48 hours. Extremely bullish. You think of the seven battleground states. Which ones is Harris in danger of losing? I would say Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia. I'm not saying she'll lose all six, but she's in danger. The only one that the Democrats say she's not in danger of losing is the one I never say the name of because I can't pronounce it. But it's where Las Vegas is, right? You guys agree with me. She could lose any of those six, right? I mean, she could lose all seven. But Democrats will tell you they're worried about those six. They're less worried about the seventh. Yeah. I don't know any Trump person who says they're worried about losing any of the seven. You take any of the Rust Belt states away from her, it's very difficult for her to win. Very difficult. It's not mathematically impossible, but it probably won't happen if she loses any of them. So now, she can replace Pennsylvania with either Georgia, North Carolina, and then one other of the Sun Belt
and
states.
Nevada. Yep.
Well, any of them. If she wins, if she loses Pennsylvania and she wins either Georgia or North Carolina, then she just needs one of the other three. And that's not impossible. But what I'm telling you today is things are not moving right for her.
All right. That's Mark Halperin. And he's right. And again, that's why those votes in Western North Carolina are so vitally important. Those are 500,000, 600,000. Most of those people overwhelmingly are voting for Donald Trump. CNN also in a panic over all of this. Cut one.
This has been a campaign that was described by multiple Democrats, allies, aides to the vice president as a good vibes campaign. But what's also creeping in now is that anxiety. The reason for that is because these polls are not really moving. Despite multiple battleground blitzes, despite the opportunities she has had across media outlets, there is still not a lot of movement from voters who are moving more towards her versus former President Donald Trump. In fact, I had one source describe it to me this way, quote, people are nervous. They know the polls are tight. And a lot of us are having these flashbacks to 2016, too. We know when it can go the wrong way and it can still feel fresh. So 2016 is the key here. When I've talked to Harris campaign officials, it often comes up in conversation. Where did Hillary Clinton have her pitfalls? And where can they make up that ground and build on what Joe Biden did in 2020? One of those, to give you an example, is those red and rural districts. Look at, for example, Cambria County in Pennsylvania. Now, former President Donald Trump won in that county, but the former President Biden was able to gain some ground there more than Hillary Clinton had in 2016. The vice president has already visited twice. And so that is the type of strategy that they're trying to deploy to try to make up that ground where they saw Hillary Clinton wasn't able to in 2016. Then, too, there's the mobilizing. Talk to Democrats. They're always pretty boastful about their ground game, and they continue to be so, but that needs to turn into votes. So certainly some anxiety and nerves setting in as Election Day gets closer and those polls just remain deadlocked.
All right, there you go. So things are not looking good for Kamala Harris right now. That doesn't mean we've got to take our foot off the gas. That means that the conservatives need to floor it. And we've got there's still a lot of time between now and Election Day. So anything can happen, and that's why we've got to do our best to motivate our neighbors, our friends, our family, the people we go to church with, and get them out and get them to the polls. Because CNN is right about one thing. The Democrats have a massive ground game, and ours just has to be bigger. And going back to something we mentioned earlier, 25 million registered Christians in this country. You guys are registered to vote, but you didn't vote in the last election cycle. If you stay home, then the Marxists are going to win, and they're going to come and they're going to shut down your churches for good. And I don't mean to be scary here, But that's just the reality of it. The Marxist will take away our guns. They're going to shut down our churches. And folks, we are going to be on a very fast track to becoming Venezuela. And if you don't believe that's the case, go back to that story we told you about from New York, where billions of our tax dollars are being used to house illegals right now. That money is coming to an end. We cannot keep up those numbers. We can't do it. We're going to run out of money. And when we run out of money, then all you know what breaks loose. I mean, it really is that it's that big and that major of an issue. So we got to get out and vote on Election Day. Got to. All right, coming up 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax, I'm going to be breaking down my thoughts on the National Weather Service and all of these insane stories that have been coming out from the forecasters, the politicians, and this global warming nonsense. So we're going to dig into that. Also, President Biden just went off on Donald Trump. We're going to play that video tonight on Newsmax as well, and I'll give you some insight there. Joe is off his meds again. It's really unfortunate. All right, folks, get out there and have a great day. All of you ladies out there, have a lovely day. Tell your husbands, take me out for supper tonight. All right, folks, get out there. You be good, America.
Balance of Nature Supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a doctor myself. I've used it and I've turned a lot of my patients on to it as well. It's a good product.
I've actually taken the bottles up to him, and you know, my doctor, he tells me keep doing it.
I am 87 years old, and I am an RN. My PhD work is in anatomy and physiology. I watched your advertisement on TV, and I thought, I'll try it for just a month. I have stayed on it. Just think it is a marvelous product.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature Supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code TODD.